From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 31st day of October 2012. Happy Halloween. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Logansport, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the Treasury Department is warning once again that the U.S. will soon hit its legal debt cap. Ukraine has reversed its position on the recently announced ban of wheat exports, and ADM is giving $1 million to Feeding America. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. Hey, later in the program, we'll hear from Purdue Ag economist Chris Hurt. He has some thoughts on the size of the beef cattle herd and what it might mean for the future. And we'll close out, as usual for a Wednesday, by talking about the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And it all happens right here on this Halloween edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly higher. The nearby December soft red winter wheat at $8.64, up 7.25 cents today. The March at $8.79.5, up 7.75 cents. In July, your harvest month, at $8.73.5 on its close, up 5.25 cents for the day. The hard red in Kansas City at $9.14.5, up 7 cents. These are all closes and not settlement prices. December futures in the corn pit from Chicago, $7.55.25, up 13.5 for the lead option. March corn at 7.56 1/4, up 11.75 cents. On the May futures at 7.53, up 11.5 cents. July corn futures 7.44.5, up 10.25. September at 6.61, and that finished a half higher. And December futures at 6.37, down 1/4 for next year in the corn pit. November beans on the nearby at $15.47. These are settlement prices, up 13.25. January at $15.48 3/4, up 12.25. And the March at $15.23 3/4, up 13 cents. May futures 14.78 1/4. 12.5 higher in July at $14.60 3/4, up 11.5. August 14.25 1/4, up a dime. In November soybeans at $13.44 1/2, a settlement price there, up 13.5 cents. December futures in the bean meal at $481.90, up $5.90. December bean oil 11 cents higher at $50.20. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Live cattle futures from the CME Group finished the nearby contract in the December at 125.92.5, down 27.5 cents. The February's were up 7.5 at 129.87.5. November feeders at 146.30 were 75 cents lower. January's at 148.70, down 80 for the day. December lean hogs up 17.5 cents on their settlement at $78.27.5 in February, $84.47.5, up 60 cents for the afternoon. The outside market showing crude oil in the December contract at $86.08 a barrel, up 40 cents. And the RBOB gasoline in the November 3 3/10 cents higher at $2.76 1/10 cents. That's the wholesale price of gas. Natural or ethanol in the November at $2.43 7/10 cents, up 2 4/10 cents. And the spread between the two is 32 4/10 cents. That's 9 tenths of a cent wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.69 3/10 cents, just about unchanged. Changed on the day. Heating oil at $3.06 8/10 cents, a penny and 8 cents lower. And the gold futures on the afternoon up $7 at $1,719.10 an ounce. The U.S. dollar at 79.91. That's down 0.01 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the National Weather Service in the Urbana-Champaign area. This afternoon, sunny skies, a high of 49 degrees on a northwest wind at about 17 miles an hour. It will gust all the way to 28, mostly clear this evening, a low of 29. West northwest winds at 7 to 11, gusting to 17 in sunny skies on Thursday with a high near 54 degrees. Mostly clear on Thursday night, a low of 32. Friday, sunny skies and 51. Friday night, partly cloudy and 37. Saturday, a 40% chance of showers in the area, partly sunny and 54. And then Saturday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 40 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour here on the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, it is the 31st day of October 2012. This is Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures markets is Jackie Bakes, as usual, here for the Closing Market Report. Good afternoon to you, Jackie, from Stuart Peterson.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, a couple of things we probably ought to look into. First, crop progress numbers are due out shortly or maybe already out.
No, I was wrong on that, Todd. They're not going to be out until 3 o'clock Central.
Oh, that, you know what, I should have told you that. I knew better that it would be 3 o'clock Central. And I was just thinking 3 o'clock and looked at our clock and said 2 o'clock. And added an hour for the East Coast. So
yeah, no. Me too. Well, they're expecting 93% done on corn and 88% done on beans, so we'll see once how close they come in.
Yeah, long ways done, and won't have much of an impact on the marketplace, I wouldn't think, one way or the other, would they?
No, not really.
Yeah, okay. So how about then the other thing, that USDA RMA will release, I think not until tomorrow morning, but can be figured pretty quickly, are the numbers for the harvest price crop insurance.
Right, I just ran through them and I figured them off. Now, I don't have the solid close for today's, but it came out at 749.86, so I would imagine it'll probably be 750 is what I would guess.
And what does that mean for anybody who managed to take a position on that average back in June and July?
Well, you know, the majority of the positions that we had on were 850 put positions with sold calls against them, and actually one sold put below the market. It's been amazing how it's worked because actually, in fact, I just did one this afternoon talking to a fellow. We're trying to determine whether we want to hold it into December expiration or take it off, but it's actually operating just like futures right now. In fact, today it was carrying about a penny more value just because it's some time value that's still there. So great thing. It worked out really, really well for them, and I'm glad that people were willing to do it. You know, it's a lot. That's a lot of difference. We closed at 7:56 today. You know, 8:50 to 7:56, long, long ways.
Yeah, a long ways, and that harvest price protection and the crop insurance will help producers in another way. If I remember correctly, should help them if they came up short crop and were sold ahead in the cash market. That they'll be able to make that up with dollars as opposed to bushels.
That's exactly right, and by doing that strategy, people who actually didn't have the fall price were able to do it. You know, who had opted out on taking fall price and just had done the spring price, they used the strategy and also protected that price. And so, you know, that that certainly has helped. There's no question. So they've turned around and added a dollar back onto their 568 number potentially, and or whatever they sold their grain for, whatever they ended up with after they couldn't produce a crop.
All right. Turn your attention to today's market. Trade should be coming back to more normal as Sandy has passed through the East Coast and traders in that area begin to get back into the marketplace. What'd you find?
Well, it's true. I think the other thing that's bringing some stabilization to the marketplace is just that we are as far harvested as we are. When you looked at the closes today, corn managed to close above the 40-day moving average, beans just at the 10-day moving average, and wheat at the 20-day moving average. Those are good things, and I would expect we're probably going to trade sideways now until we get through the election. The election is the number one thing that's looming over the market at this point in time, and traders' perception of how people may react to however the election comes out. That may be overblown in their minds. None of us truly know for sure, but I think the reality that we have to deal with is what is going on in the outside world after this election is finally behind us. You know, we have more talk about debt ceiling. In fact, we just heard that again. You know, there's just so many things going on. We saw the European Union come out with an unemployment record of 11.6. I mean, that is a new record. They have 18.5 million people out of work, and across all 17 countries now, the youth, which would be anyone under the age of 25, they're carrying a 23.3% unemployment rate. So that's not something that's going away very quickly, and so certainly is causing issues. We see Brazil arguing with Germany because Brazil is very afraid when they bring up they'd like to see more stimulus done, you know, to get the world economy going faster. And Germany, of course, is already pretty heavily indebted into the European Union. So all of that's going to come back after the U.S. elections are behind us.
Yeah, and the other thing in the European Union, I think, is that on the youth, Spain and Greece are carrying more than half of their youth unemployed.
Oh, they are. It's over 25% unemployment in Spain and Greece, just on overall, everybody.
Yeah, across the European Union,
right.
Over 25%. But Spain and Greece are over 50%, if I read those numbers correctly.
You are absolutely correct. On anybody under 25, it's well over 50%. And so, you know, you can see why there's a lot of pain going on and a lot of issues. And it's life changes is what it is. You know, when you know how it is for us. We've seen our parents grow up and do things a certain way and live a certain lifestyle, and a lot of us hope to be able to do that, and that's certainly the case over there, and now it's quite obvious that that's not going to be the case.
Yeah, and that kind of economic turmoil builds over generations and will keep those that are moving through that at this point, I suppose, from really investing. It might take another 20 years.
That's right. That's right. There's just no question. It's just like, you know, the United States looking at trying to build jobs. It's going to take a long time to get us, if we ever get back to the level of employment that we were at before the recession hit, just because of all of the automation that we have now, robotics, computers taking jobs, those types of things. You know, so the more mechanized we become, the less jobs we need to have available for human beings. Hopefully we won't be totally replaced, but you know, at the same time, it makes it tougher from an employment standpoint. So.
Hey, what did you make of the news from Ukraine that they're reversing their order, and it hadn't been put in place, that on the 15th of this next month, November, they were going to ban the export of wheat, and now they say, no, we have enough, we'll be okay.
Oh, I just think that this is one giant game that's going on, Todd. You know, when you look at the fact that they've been selling from what they call their intervention grain, and that intervention grain is a grain stock that they have to help out parts of their country which are, you know, basically devastated. And they've been selling intervention grain now because people have been starving in some areas of their country due to a lack of wheat for eating. And so I think, you know, it was a very unpopular thing for them to ban exports the last time at the World Trade Board. And so I think right now what we're going to see happen is they won't ban it, but they will be out of the market. I'm pretty bullish wheat between that January and April time frame because I think that at that point in time, they're going to have to come to us. Other countries are going to have to come to us that normally go to Ukraine, and it should be helpful all the way around.
Anything that we didn't pick up that you wanted to make sure we talked about today?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting when you look at what's going on in ethanol. We saw Bunge is idling the Vicksburg, Mississippi plant. You know, Valero had an operating loss in the third quarter of $73 million versus an income of $107 million last year in the third quarter. It begs to make me wonder if, you know, they're saying that the losses are coming because of high corn prices, but primarily because of high inventories of ethanol. But put ourselves back to last year on the third and fourth quarter, and they were overproducing like wild, and blenders were taking it like wild because we knew that the blend credit was going to end at the end of December. So I think all of this is just kind of so let's take it and make it half and half. And if you take 73 and 107 and you look at the shift, they still made a profit between the last 2 years. It's just they really front-loaded the profit last year versus this year. And so I think the ADM giving the money, you know, for food is interesting as they make that hostile grab for the Grain Corp. And there's going to be some very fierce opposition to them doing that. You know, that is one of the largest wheat markets and wheat elevators that there are. And so I think there's just going to be a lot of interesting things going on in our business. And another interesting fact I found was, do you know that it takes 2 tons of what they call tar sand to make just 20 gallons of gasoline?
No.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it? You know, and so as we look at the crude oil prices, that's another thing I think we need to be prepared for. The London crude spread right now has been running right around $23 today. That's the widest that we've seen it, and the only other 2 times I've seen it that wide were back when the Libyan war was going on last year. So I think we better make sure that we've got our seatbelt on when it comes to gas prices once we get through this election, because I think the election will suddenly bring us a boost in crude oil prices again, and I think we'll see a boost in gas prices, which is pretty normal for an election year.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hey,
bye-bye.
That's Jackie Vaik. She's with Stuart Peterson. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for this afternoon.
In agricultural news, the Treasury Department today says that the U.S. is still on track to hit its legal borrowing limit by the end of this year, though emergency measures will allow it to keep borrowing into the first quarter of 2013. The latest debt ceiling update gives Congress a few months to act before the federal government would run out of room to finance obligations. Negotiations to raise the debt cap are expected to start after the November elections as part of a broader discussion aimed at avoiding the so-called fiscal cliff. Large tax increases and spending cuts that automatically begin in January unless lawmakers intervene. The number of people out of work in the Eurozone climbed. Eurostat said today that 18.49 million people were unemployed in the Eurozone in September. That's 146,000 more people who lost their job. The total is the highest on record for the 17 nations that now use the euro, based on data going back to 1995. Archer Daniels Midland Company today announced that it is contributing $1 million to Feeding America to support the operation of 30 mobile food distribution units operating in 21 states. The contribution was made through ADM Cares, a social investment program that directs funds to initiatives and organizations. Ukraine is making a 180-degree turn on wheat exports. It now says it does not intend to impose a ban on the export of wheat on November 15th. Ukrainian government officials said earlier a ban on the export of wheat could be imposed in order to ensure there was no shortage of wheat on the domestic market following a poor harvest this year caused by drought. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find online, along with all of our agricultural programming, at willag.org. That's willag.org on your smartphone at m.willag.org. Or just by dialing this number, voicemail at 217-333-3434. Now up next, you know the price of beef cattle is on target to move higher. I'll have more on the reasons why.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
The number of available beef cattle is dwindling. Cattle producers have reduced the size of the U.S. herd for several years because of drought, first in the Southwest, causing Texas ranchers to empty out their spreads, then in the Midwest, keeping the price of feed items like corn high. USDA numbers bear out this liquidation of the herd, says Purdue Extension Ag economist Chris Hurt.
In the latest Cattle on Feed report, the USDA has confirmed that placements into feedlots dropped sharply in September, following substantial declines in July and August. As a result, on-feed numbers are now down nearly 3%, as the beef industry is doing its part to reduce corn and other feed usage.
That last line is truly a direct impact of this year's drought in the Midwest. It is a notable fact, but not one of a new or different historical consequence. When supplies are short, the livestock industry has always contracted. It also expands when supplies of feedstuffs are burdensome. Still, this expansion and contraction reality in no way lessens the financial woes inflicted on the industry.
Drought has been particularly cruel to the beef cattle industry. A multiple-year drought in the southern plains has been followed by a devastating Midwestern drought in 2012 that is now forecast to continue into 2013. Brood cows remain the last major livestock industry that is land extensive. So when dryness causes wide stretches of land to be unable to support cow grazing, producers have to buy feed or send those cows to town.
That's exactly what the Texans did. Those cows were sent to town to continue to be fed and bred, or at least some of them. Most went north to places like Nebraska. Then the drought in the Southwest spread to every place in the continental United States. It remains in place today west of a line that runs roughly from Chicago to Lubbock. So, just as Texas emptied out when the pastures dried up, the lots in the west, where some of those cattle went, are emptying out because the corn just isn't there.
Beef cow numbers are likely to continue to move 2-3% lower in the upcoming January inventory report. The mid-year readings were already reflecting a 4% decrease in the national beef cow herd. And, of course, that was before the major impacts of the 2012 drought really began to be felt. The implications are for continued cow reductions until feed and forage supplies are restored.
Those will be better times for the beef cattle industry. But today, Kansas State estimates feedlots are losing about $200 per head. The high price of feed and a small calf crop resulting in excess feedlot capacity have pushed the financials into the red. The number of calves moved into feedlots, for instance, in September was 19% lower than a year ago. It was also the smallest number placed in feedlots since USDA began tracking the figure in 1996. The July and August placements were each down 10%, too. It all means the price of finished beef cattle will continue to rise, peaking sometime in the spring in the high 130s, thinks Purdue's Chris Hurt. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
It's Wednesday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market with Scott Butcher. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's in Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Scott.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start off with whether or not basis has been good or bad over the last week.
It really has not changed very much. I mean, we've seen harvest activity continue to linger around in a lot of different areas. So really, I mean, we have not seen a big push one way or the other here lately.
And your expectations for it to change in one way or the other?
Yeah, I think once harvest does finally get wrapped up, I do think that basis strengthens up. It, you know, seems like right now anyway, with it dragging out the way it has, it's going to be tough to get grain to move here as we get closer to the end of November, and we start talking about the holidays, it always seems like it gets harder to move.
Not a lot of time here, but many are thinking that it will be a basis play rather than a futures play for the cash corn in the coming months. What do you think?
Yeah, I do think so. I mean, obviously, everybody's looking for the $8 price level, so, you know, whether that's futures or basis yet to be determined, I guess. But, yeah, that's kind of the magic number.
Your bids for the day?
Right now, cash corn would be 780 and soybeans 1525.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Thank you.
Scott Butcher is with the Andersons. He's at their Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. I'll be back in just 2 minutes. We'll talk about the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
It's All Hallows Eve and National Caramel Apple Day. The invention of the caramel apple generally goes to Dan Walker, a sales representative for Kraft Foods. Legend has it that in the 1950s, Walker and his young son came up with the idea after buying a red candied apple made with a hard sugar coating. Walker discovered the key to getting the caramel to stick to the apples was adding a little water as the caramels are melted. On this day in agricultural history in 1731, Carl von Voigt was born, a German physiologist. His work on metabolism helped establish modern nutritional science. In 1920, Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes handed down the decision for the Supreme Court, which upheld trademark violations for the Coca-Cola Company against the Coke Company of America. That's K-O-K-E. They argued that Coca-Cola should have changed its name after dropping cocaine from its formula, and that a picture of coca leaves and cola nuts on the bottle's label was misleading. The court disagreed. In 1981, Dunkin' Donuts opened its first store in Thailand. And in 2003, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration released a summary of a draft report concluding that cloned farm animals and their offspring pose little scientific risk to the food supply. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated is here to look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Let's start out east and tell me how things are wrapping up with Sandy, please.
Well, you know, we're finally getting a break from that storm. What an amazing event, that's for sure. It will continue to spread some scattered showers across a big part of the northeastern United States yet for today and probably into early tomorrow, but we'll see an end to it from southwest to northeast through the region as we go through the night tonight and especially tomorrow during the day. It'll probably be sometime Friday, though, before it's completely dry across the region. And now, of course, we've got a new little storm that's supposed to develop along the lower part of the Atlantic coast maybe the middle part of next week. And we're going to watch that real closely. I think it'll end up being a little further off the coast than what's been advertised here today. But we're going to need to watch that pretty close because they don't need any more rain in some of that northern Atlantic coastal region.
Any areas of primary concerns in the U.S. growing regions?
Well, we're still worried about some of that winter wheat crop out there. There's a lot of wheat that's still not very well established from northern Kansas up into Montana. And even though some of this isn't, the primary wheat land, it's still just one more piece of the puzzle with problems in Australia this year and some concerns about Russia's winter crop. And, a few other pockets out there we have to pay attention to every little bit of wheat that's not doing so well. And the problem is now the soil temperatures are dropping and some of this crop is already moving into semi-dormancy. So we're going to be pretty much out of luck until we get to spring. Some of these crops, though, do have a root system on them, and they can recover in the spring if conditions are just right.
Let's stay with wheat for just a second. Why don't you recap the Ukrainian growing season and how bad it may have been in your eyes, and then talk about other growing regions, Australia and Argentina in particular.
Well, certainly Ukraine and Russia, the south central part of Russia and their lower Volga River basin, those areas certainly had a very tough year this year. Frequent bouts of dryness in Ukraine, but Ukraine actually came out a little bit better than some of the lower Volga River basin in Russia. The Ukraine did get a few timely rain events after being critically dry. And, of course, a year ago, these very same areas were not well established because of dryness, and that's what really got us on the wrong foot. The lower Volga River basin, I'd say they've had probably less than a half inch of rain for the last 3 months. It's very, very dry there. There will not be much of a crop, if anything, in the ground there. In other areas around the world, Australia had a pretty tough season as well. Last I heard, they had lost 27% of their crop because it was too dry and because of frost and freezes that occurred. That crop is now mostly being harvested, except in the far south where they're still filling and maturing that crop. There shouldn't be any more damage in that country. Argentina's had some issues with too much moisture, and now wet weather diseases are running across a fair amount of the country. The good news for Argentina, though, is that their weather will be improving over the next 10 days with only one rain event, but it's been unusually wet for 3 months in Argentina. Outside of these three areas, I think most everybody else is hanging in there fairly well. China and India look like they will have a very good planting season, and of course we have a few problems that occurred in Canada's prairies and the northern U.S. plains where planting will be down this year.
Drew, thanks so much.
All right, you have yourself a good day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated, joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, and that wraps it up. I'm Todd Gleason.